This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We're going to check in with Eric Ainge, former Tennessee quarterback, at Eric Ainge 3, and host of the Eric Ainge Show there in Knoxville. And he joins us here on Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5 on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. So interesting developments here, not only the past 2 weeks, but what we saw yesterday, Eric, with the firing of one Jeremy Pruitt, and then the press conference that followed there at 2 o'clock Central Time. I'm going to ask you, and we've been asking our loyal Tennessee fans here in the listening audience, based on what we're seeing, and I'm going to let you respond, this seems like an inside job. What can you tell us about what you know being there on the pulse of the Tennessee Vol football program?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on. As far as I can tell, they were breaking rules, level one and level two violations, and when you do that and you have a for-cause reason to get rid of a guy, it seems like a pretty easy decision. You know, if he'd have gone 8-2 this year and beat a bunch of ranked teams, is what he did bad enough himself? Obviously, there would be people who had to take the shot and go under the bus for him, but, you know, maybe you're not firing him today. But at 3-7, 16-19 over his first 3 years, you know, I think pressure got him a little bit. This is just an opinion. I haven't talked to him about it, but I think the pressure to win got him a little bit, and I think that's when recruiting stuff starts to happen. And, you know, he took over too much of Jim Chaney's ability to be the offensive coordinator last year and didn't have good quarterback development. I mean, it's just a storm of a million things that end up landing him where he's at today. And I'm sure there'll be a legal battle for the buyout and all that, but, I mean, that's over my head.
Eric, what do you think is next for Tennessee football? What would you state as the best case scenario for who the next head coach could be in Knoxville?
My vote would, well, first off, I don't know, sitting on his fat stacks of millions of dollars, he just got 10, he's owed 21. I would love Gus Malzahn. If they told me today that he was coming here with the caveat that he was going to call the plays and be the offensive guy, which at this point in his career, he's kind of shown he doesn't want to do. But when he has, they're really good. When he doesn't, they're not. So if it was him coming in to just hire another Chad Morris or someone, I wouldn't want that. But if he was going to do it, I'd love him. And I think the one that I would root for the most would be Luke Fickell. You know, he's going to get a Power 5 job, if not soon, after next year for sure. So he kind of will have, anytime there's an opening, he'll have his pick if he wants it. I think he would be right at the top of anybody's board, but he's been a Power 5 guy. He's an, you know, guru on offense. You got to be a guru of one side of the ball, and I would prefer offense in this current state of college and pro football. But you're better off with a guy with an offensive mind, and he's had success with everything he's done. And I like him. He's kind of a hard worker, blue collar type guy, and I could get behind that. There's a few more out there. It's not going to be Hugh Freeze.
In regards to Philip Fulmer, do most fans believe that Philip Fulmer did not know that these things were going on in that football program?
Yeah, no, I don't for a second believe that he was aware of the biggie size meal to the recruits meant stacks in the Happy Meal boxes. Yeah, I don't know the details of all that for sure, but I don't think for a second Fulmer knew. They didn't even ask him to step down. It was on, you know, he's the one that volunteered and said he was never going to take the job for very long. He was just trying to be a Band-Aid and try to help us not get, you know, even worse off and everything. And he doesn't think it's right to hire the next football coach because no matter who is hired, Fulmer's not going to be the AD 3 years from now, 4 years from now when you're evaluating performance. So I think he respected everybody enough to just be like, hey, I did this, a lot of good things. I tried. Who I hired broke the rules. I don't need to do it again. Hire somebody else.
I mean, I guess I'm a bit confused because if Jeremy Pruitt answers to Philip Fulmer, why didn't Philip Fulmer have a better grasp of what was going on with his football program?
Well, I this is just my opinion. I don't think that Pruitt even knew all the details of everything, all the level one and two violations that they had. I don't even think Pruitt, but you can't hold anybody outside of, unless they have direct involvement, which the search, the two lawyers that they, the investigators they hired that cost $500 an hour, they would have found if Fulmer knew anything or not. And again, UT wasn't, they didn't want to fight, they didn't want him to step down, but he went ahead and said, no, if it's football coach time, I'm not doing that again. They'd have, they'd have fired him otherwise.
Eric Ains joining us here on Three Man Front on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. So you mentioned Gus Malzahn. You mentioned Luke Fickell. His buyout is huge. Part of this seems to be a financial shortfall in maybe try not to, you know, pay him the $12.6 million Jeremy Pruitt that is owed. What is the what do the coffers look like as far as you know there with, I know you said the Himes and you got supporters and graduates there from UT that have plenty of money, but financially, what kind of shape is this athletic program in where you could go and get a well-known coach?
Well, the problem with everything you just said is, yeah, I know a lot of, I know most all of the guys here that are the biggest donors and could be potential influencers or whose opinion could be asked, and all of them, to a man, has said, I'm talking about three guys specifically, they have told me, man, I'm almost apathetic towards it. Like, we've just been bad for so long and hiring new coaches every few years that they're more, you know, that they're worried about their businesses and their, you know, their employees with COVID and stuff like that. They're just kind of, they're not out on Tennessee football, but nowhere near a position where an athletic director could go to them and say, hey, we want to make this move. Pony up the dough. I think you'd get a lot of no, I'm not involved from a lot of guys around here. Whoever they get and however they get them, they're going to have to do it the hard way. This is not going to be an easy job. You know, we don't even know all the sanctions and other stuff that's going to come from it exactly. You never know how many recruits are going to leave. Right now we've had a five-star offensive tackle that just went to Oklahoma. Our middle linebacker, Henry To'oto'o, all signs point to him probably not coming back. I mean, if they decimate the roster too bad, then no one's going to want the job.
As it just pertains to the 2021 season, do you believe that Kevin Steele will be the Tennessee head football coach?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think long-term Kevin Steele is the answer. But if they want to go the interim route, when I think it was right after Kiffin left, Kippy Brown was still on the staff, and a lot of people, myself included, were saying, let's keep him. He's the interim coach. Just make him the interim coach and go on. They elected not to, and they went and hired Derek Dooley. You know, like that. So maybe this Kevin Steele thing is a Kippy Brown situation. Maybe we ought to learn from that and take him for a year and let the athletic director really find out who they want and get a grasp on it. I mean, that would be ideal. I just don't know how many guys are going to stay on the team and how hard they're going to play. And that is a really, really big ask of a guy like Kevin Steele to come in there and win all those guys over and try to present it as anything but a train wreck. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a tough job for whoever they hire. Gosh, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and we've already heard former tight end Jason Witten. His name has been thrown out. Have not heard your name thrown out, but maybe you want to toss it in the ring. You can call up the chancellor there and say, hey former player, quarterback, I'd like the job.
As a big, slow white guy in the SEC, Cole will appreciate this. I threw the ball 500-plus times my senior year and only took 3 sacks. NCAA record. I could tell the kids how to protect yourself so you don't get your butt knocked off and where to throw the football and all that, but I'm not recruiting.
Seems to be a common theme these days.
I was like, I don't know. I don't tell 16-year-olds how special they are.
Well, I mean, you don't have to do that if you have a bunch of McDonald's bags, apparently. You just hand them those and tell them enjoy your lunch and welcome to UT. All right, it's Eric Ainge, host there of the Eric Ainge Show in Knoxville, at Eric Ainge and the number 3 on Twitter. Eric, we always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, boys.
Eric Ainge joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.